I think maybe not. So we just continue, and so the next speaker is Michele Punturu. Thank you very much. Michele is the spokesperson of the ET Consortium. The Einstein Telescope idea is not a brand new idea. I think there is many years when during these years, maybe Michele will tell me the history, the starting point. So we will see, but I can imagine that is now close to 10 years. So there is a long baby phase of it. And I am happy to advertise this talk, which speak about the maturation and how this would go further.
Okay, just a second. I shall start. Is everything okay? It seems okay for the moment. Okay, so in effect, I want to start from the last statement by Giorgio, by the fact that we project and design a new facility, you should not generate gaps in the training, in the know-how in your community, because otherwise you arrive at the facility and you have no more experienced people to operate or to work with them. And so my presentation about Einstein Telescope will be built with the concept that Einstein Telescope is a continuous evolution with respect to the current detectors, and so is the, let's say, the final target of a complex strategy that is starting started years ago and is progressing. Okay, so in reality, the full gravitational wave sector is a long sector, so long time sector. We can say that we have made 100 years of history, of life, of gravitational waves, since the general relativity was published in 1915, and gravitational waves, the first paper on gravitational waves, is dated 1916, and it was also wrong. So the correct paper arrives in 1918 by Albert Einstein, and the real fact that Einstein accepted that the gravitational wave exists was dated 1937. And you see it's a long path, where the first part of the path is a theoretical path, but then experimentalists entered in the game with crazy ideas. For example, in 1966, with Joseph Weber, realized the first resonant bar. And then this sector already produced two Nobel Prize. The first one with observation started in 1974, so the double pulsar, and then the Nobel Prize by Hals and Taylor. And then we have the most recent in 2015 for the detection of the gravitational waves. And so you see that the history of current gravitational wave detector is back in started in the 80s with the first ideas, and the 90s with the realization of the detector. So it's a long path that, as Giorgio said, this kind of infrastructure are not matching with venture capital. You need to invest in long time. Are the final achievements that everybody knows the final target of this path? Not really, because the detections, detection of gravitational waves, and then the detection of the neutron star are in reality the beginning of a new era. So we can define three milestones that are really mark that are great achievements, but in reality are marking the beginning. What's It works, yes. Marks the beginning of a new era. So the first one is the first detection. That is true, that is the detection of gravitational waves. But in reality, is the confirmation of the existence of a stellar mass black hole, confirmation for some very few and discovery for many astrophysicists, but is the birth of the experimental physics in gravitational in strong field, we will see what I mean by strong field in the next slide, and for the astrophysics of stellar mass black hole. So it's the beginning of this physics. Then the GW170814, so the first detection by three detectors of, three detectors means also Virgo, of a black hole, is the beginning of gravitational wave astronomy. When you talk about astronomy, you have to think of localization. Astronomy needs localization. So the first time that you can localize, thanks to the presence of Virgo, and then you have the beginning of gravitational wave astronomy. And with the BNS, so what you have is the birth of multi-messenger astronomy, as you know, also mentioned by Giorgio, and is the beginning of astrophysics, astronomy and astrophysics using multi-messenger triggered by gravitational waves. So that are really the beginning of new era. And maybe should go on. It's not going. And the question mark is how it has been possible. So the two ingredients are the fact that we in 2015 LIGO and 2017 Virgo entered in the advanced phase. So from the beginning we started in the 20s, in the 2000 year, but after 15 years we made a jump from the first to the second generation. So we increased the volume seen by the detector by a factor 10, or at least the target is to increase by a factor 10. So the increased sensitivity is the first ingredient for this opening of new era, and the second ingredient, I have a problem with this object, the second ingredient is the fact that we have three detectors that can localize the source. And so here see the difference between the localization with the two black holes, the three detector and the black holes, and the three detectors and the neutron star, and that are the localization in the sky with just LIGO. So the third detector is mandatory to localize the source. So the opening of new era is given by these two ingredients. And this has been realized by a network of detectors, these three. In reality, the data are collected in four detectors. There is also a geo detector that is in Germany. But I explicitly put this line here to underline the fact that in reality, for the science, are used the data of just three detectors. Why the fourth is not used? Because the sensitivity is not enough. So this is a key rule. If your detector is not enough sensitive, it's useless. Clear statement. And this is an ingredient that you should keep in mind for the next slides to understand the strategy that we are implementing. So the cost of this infrastructure has been evaluated. So the integral cost of LIGO facilities is the order of $1.5 billion of dollars. And for Virgo, the total investment is $420 million of euro. For Kagra, yen, not able to make so much the comparison. And LIGO and Virgo have a parallel plan of evolution in the next years that you see here. So this is the Virgo Advanced Virgo Plus project that is the evolution of the detector in the next year, and this is the parallel plan for LIGO, and we are making a parallel evolution to respect the rule this one. Because if you want to make science, you need a similar or comparable sensitivity, and to remain in the game. And so we are planning an evolution of these detectors in parallel. why we are always planning upgrades continuously. We will start data after two in three data taking after 1 year and more of stop. Why we are continuously upgrading? Okay, the explanation is very, very, very simple. Use this plot. So if we, this is the volume, if you are a high energy physicist, we can say this is the product between luminosity and the branching ratio. So the, if we remain with the sensitivity of O1, the first run, so this is the normalization factor, after 10 years, in 2026, you have a volume of detection that you normalize to 1. Let's say this is volume 1. So thanks to the upgrade to the O2 level, the volume that you have is larger with respect if you project is 45 times larger. With the upgrade, with the improvement of sensitivity that we expect in O3, the volume that we cover of the universe, so the detection rate is 120 times larger, and so on. All this plan of upgrades will allow to have a detection rate, so a volume covered that is of the order 1,000 times larger with respect to O1. This is the reason why gravitational wave detectors are continuously in upgrade. For us, it's more convenient to upgrade the machine with respect to stay and looking data for years, because otherwise you need 1,000 years to cover 1 year of the final sensitivities. Okay, so seems simple, the life, but it's not so simple, because there are new gamers, new actors entering the game, and so Kagra will enter in 2020, more or less, in the game, and is a very innovative machine. LIGO India is entering in 2025, probably, and LIGO has a plan that is called Voyager, implementing maybe cryogenics, that should start maybe in 2026, 2028, and so they are this new player, and this upgrade make the situation quite risky in Europe. So if you see here is an evaluation, graphical evaluation of the obsolescence of the infrastructure in the different countries, in different continents, and the level of the limitation given by the infrastructure to the sensitivity of the detector. So the, what we believe that both LIGO will be quite old in 2029, but they will be not still limited by the infrastructure, because they are able to accommodate the Voyager implementation. Instead, in Europe, GEO is already obsolete and is already limited by the infrastructure, and Virgo in 2029 will be old, like more or less like LIGO, and but will be limited by the infrastructure, because it's tricky meter and it is smaller in terms of infrastructure. We cannot implement the cryogenic step inside. In Asia, instead, we will have new actors that will be quite performant. So the question that we have to pose is how to keep a scientific relevance in Europe. That was the question that we posed since years. And the answer is the Einstein telescope. Einstein telescope is the machine, is the infrastructure that will put Europe not in a competitive level, will be the leader for the future. What is the key ingredients of a T is the fact that it's a 3G new gravitational wave observatory. Each word has a meaning. 3G means a factor 10 better with respect to the current detector, so the second generation. We talk of one generation every time you have a factor 10 more or less of improvement in sensitivity. New means that we need a new infrastructure. We cannot upgrade the current one. And the concept of observatory is a quite rich concept. We are talking currently of detectors, and it will be an observatory. So what means will be a quite wide in frequency, will not be not narrow band, with a wide band, with a special focus in the low frequency. The original idea is to work capable work alone, because we have been the pioneer in the design of third generation, so nobody else was designing 3G when we started to design this object. And so the idea was to make it independent and working alone. And this means that the localization capability, even if it is not excellent, polarization, that is crucial for physics, and this requires the triangular shape, and high video duty cycle, and this is given by the redundancy of detector inside. And the concept is to create an infrastructure that has a time life of at least 50 years, that able to host evolutions in the future, technological evolution. This is a long path, as has been mentioned by Peter. We started our thought on the future in 2004. Then we put black and white on the conceptual design between 2008 and 2011. And we developed technology. We are developing technology since 2012 with the different tools, financial tools. What are the science target of this kind of detector? It's an evolution, not a revolution with respect to the current one. So this is a list of scientific targets that are prepared by the IT Science Team Consortium. I will show you that there are a huge number of scientists that are working on that. But I used this slide that in reality is a slide that I presented during a meeting of high energy physics people, because you know, and I will mention later, that CERN is preparing a roadmap now, and there has been an interest of high energy physics and CERN people to say, okay, what are the contact points between your physics and high energy physics? And high energy particle physics. And so the key points for us are fundamental question in gravity, so new test on general relativity, exploration of possible alternative theory of gravity, how prove or disprove the nature of black holes, and fundamental question in particle physics, for example, axions. I will discuss how gravitational wave can detect axions. Probing rational state of a neutron star, exotic object phenomena, cosmic strings and so on, cosmology, modeling of gravitational waveforms, alternative theory gravitational, population of black holes, explosion mechanism in supernova, history of supermassive black holes, stochastic background and multi-messenger physics. And then in red you can see how you can translate in high energy particle physics this statement. In this, of course, to discuss all that point, I need a couple of days, and I will not do it. I will focus in very few items, just to talk about the main urgent topics. So, first of all, is general relativity the theory of gravitation? So to prove or disprove that, we need to make a test on general relativity, we need to make a test on polarization of gravitational waves. For example, we need to, if you believe to a quantum theory of gravity, we need to make a measurement of the mass of the graviton. So then the second urgent question is, what is the dark matter? Exists the dark matter? What kind of dark matter we have? So I put this formula to say why we use dark matter. You know better than me. We are introducing dark matter because we have evidence related to the behavior of galaxies or collision of cluster galaxies or rotational diagram of the galaxies that are not matching with the matter that we see through electromagnetic emission, and we see rotational velocity that are not matching. And so how we introduce dark matter? In a very simplified way, we can say, okay, this is the question of field of Einstein. There is some hidden matter, and then I introduce a corrective term here that tell us, okay, there is a dark matter somewhere. Then the nature of dark matter depends on your preference. You can say that are WIMPs, weak interacting particles. You can say that are axions. You can say that are black holes Okay? But this, the key ingredient is this one. And I will show one slide about how we can enter in this discussion with the Einstein telescope. And do we need dark energy? Again, dark energy, you have it introduced, but you can avoid dark energy introducing alternative theory of gravity. So playing the same game means that you play with the curvature and not with the energy tensor, energy momentum tensor. Another question that we can ask, well, what is the nuclear physics of neutron star? Are they strange? Means that are neutron star or strange quarks star? So that are the questions that we can try to solve with gravitational waves and with the evolution of the current detector. So I put this movie because I like it so much. That is the collections of the two black holes. And what you see in the collection of the two black holes is the deformation of space-time. And this is how the space-time is deformed by the collection phase. But this is nice. But to understand what means Eve now, gravitational wave detector, look at this plot. This plot shows you the level of intensity of a gravitational field and the level of curvature of the space-time that you are able to measure in different experiments. So, and these are the weak field experiments with the lunar ranging, lunar laser ranging, the perihelion measurement of Mercury, the satellites that are rotating around the Earth to measure lens steering effects. So the double pulsar, double binary pulsar. This is what is expected with LISA. This is with the future project of telescope, and these are the second generation and third generation. So we, this is a log scale. So why it's impressive the result that we can obtain, we are obtaining, and we can obtain in future? Because we are investigating a range of the intensity of gravitational field that are order of magnitude above. So if you are an energy physics person, you can say that we switched on LSE, meanwhile before there was just the accelerator of the 60 years. We made a jump with the gravitational wave, and we will do a jump farther that is impressive. So to test the general relativity, we can play with the templates, is what we did with our publication here. In the future, you can improve the sensitivity of the detector in order to test, for example, if you can allow some variation with respect to the prediction of post-Newtonian approximation of general relativity. But, sorry, I pushed the wrong button. I want to jump it. But one interesting way to measure if general relativity is the correct theory of gravity is to measure polarization. Because general relativity predicts two polarization of gravitational waves. Instead, alternative theory of gravity are predicting up to six polarization of gravitational waves. And so it's quite important to have a tool capable to measure polarization for having a test of general relativity. And you will see that is a key ingredient of it. We talk about, again, alternative theory of gravity. They are predicting a massive graviton, and we are able, just with the gravitational wave detection, to make a measurement of the mass of the graviton, because if you have a mass in the graviton, what you have, you have a dispersive behavior of the wave, and this reflects on the shape of the template that we are using. So with the current detector, we made a limit on the mass of the graviton that is quite competitive. If you compare the limit of graviton with respect to the limit that we have for photons, it's already impressive that our limit is lower with respect to photons. But of course, to discriminate between different alternative of gravity, you need a level of resolution that is higher. So how multi-messenger astronomy can play a role on this field, for example, on the fundamental theory of fundamental physics. This is something that has been already investigated for the current detectors and will be much more investigated for the future detectors, is to have a simultaneous detection of gravitational waves and photons, for example, from gamma ray burst. And then photons and gravitational waves are traveling from the source to us, passing through different gravitational fields. And then what you have is that the gravitational fields can, through the Shapiro effect, for example, can delay in a different way the arrival of the signal. And so measuring this parameter gamma that is in this formula here, this is the gravitational field given by all the matter that the waves and the light are traveling, we can put a limit on the different behavior of gravitational waves and electromagnetic wave, and this limit has been put currently by LIGO-Virgo in this range. What means that? Why you should be interested in this measurement that seems quite specific? Look here. So with just one measurement, we have been able to say that this list of alternative theory of gravity are not matching this gap, this range, are excluded by just using this measurement. And you have that list of other alternative theory of gravity that still resist. So if you wanted to test that the general relativity is the right theory of the gravity, you need to have a very precise and high statistics in this measurement. So from all that test, what we learn from LIGO and Virgo is the fact that dark matter paradigm is robust. But then what is dark matter? What are these options? Okay, if we talk about WIMP, gravitational wave cannot help you. But let's suppose that we are talking that dark matter is made by black hole. Is it that possible? That is the pictorial map of what has been detected. Neutron star, the two neutron stars collapsing in one strange object that we don't know what is that, and the black holes that are collapsing in other black holes. So what we learn from our observation that we are seeing a new family of black holes that were not inferred by electromagnetic observation, that are the black holes inferred by electromagnetic measurement. And from this object that we have here, we don't know what is that. Maybe is a hypermassive neutron star, or maybe it's a black hole. But what is strange that is in this gap where we never seen a compact object. Astronomers never seen a compact object. So this means that there are objects that are not emitting in electromagnetic spectrum that are in our sky, our universe. So can be them dark matter? Okay, you see here that this is a plot of the exclusion of dark matter as a primordial black hole. All that experiment are excluding this range, but not are excluding this range. So there is still a probability that dark matter is composed by just gravitational objects, okay? Black holes. Axions and gravitational waves. Also, this is some recent theoretical product, let's call it like that. We saw from, it's expected from theory, that if there are axions, they can be visible in gravitational waves, both in the coalescence of a neutron star and in the spinning black holes. So this kind of measurement is a fundamental physics measurement, it's a particle physics measurement, it's a dark matter measurement, can be realized if you have a very high sensitivity to the waveform, so a very high signal-to-noise ratio in the waveform, in the detection of gravitational waves, or you can able to scan all the universe for black holes. So what you need to realize a map of the black holes in the sky and to see how is the spin of the black holes at your measurement. If you look if you look at the current measurement of black holes and you see our spin, our capability to detect spin, we are very, very poor in this determination. So we need the new machines to detect this this part. Okay, that are the constraints that we can put in axiom mass, for example. Cosmology. To make cosmology with gravitational waves detector, you need to detect at the same time gravitational waves and the photons. And this has been done with the first BNS, and this is our first measurement of the Planck constant, the Hubble constant, that is a very with a very large error. But if you have tens, maybe hundreds of that measurement, the error will be smaller and smaller. So being competitive with the measurement made by Planck and by supernova. And we can make a test of the cosmological model of the universe just using gravitational waves and emission of photons by short gamma ray burst. Finally, is this about cosmology, is the stochastic background. Stochastic background, if there is a standard roll-off model, is something that is not measurable by gravitational wave detectors, LISA, ET, any other, what you want, is not, they are not able to arrive to the level of sensitivity. But if there is some blue shift mechanism in the inflection, then we have that detectors like ET can measure it. Okay, if you wanted to talk about nuclear physics, I think you've seen this beautiful movie. This is what we've seen, the collections of two neutron stars. And this is a nuclear physics. Why it is nuclear physics? Because a neutron star is an object that is in continuous fight between the gravitation that is trying to collapse the star and the nuclear force that is keeping it alive. And so if we are able to measure the equation of state of a neutron star, we can participate to, let's say, investigate the matter phase diagram that I usually plot like that, where the high energy physics experiments are investigating very hot matter, but with the low density, and we are investigating matter very cold, but with very high density in the matter itself. So how to investigate the neutron star? Through the collections, we have been able to measure, for example, where elements are realized, so EV elements, but this is a business for astronomers. I'm not an astronomer, and so as a nuclear physicist, as a particle physicist, or as a both my previous life, I'm quite interested to see how using gravity, the gravitational waves, you can constrain the equation of state of a star, then to make nuclear physics. Essentially, when you arrive to the collections, the gravitational field are distorting the stars, and this is reflected in the template, so the stiffness of the star is a measurement of the equation of state. And these are the limits that we are able to put, so killing some of the equation of state proposed by nuclear physicists. I wanted to be honest, the current limit put by LIGO and Virgo are just killing quite not realistic equation of state. We are at the margin of the physics there. But if we are able to measure the radius of the star at the level of the meter, and we are close to them with the second, and we'll be sure with the third generation, then we will be able to really to identify the equation of state of the neutron star. Okay, so all that seems quite nice result, and that tell you perfect. We do it with the second generation gravitational detector, maybe with a small upgrade of gravitational wave detector. If somebody tells you that is needed just another detector like LIGO, maybe I had not a look at this plot. This is the plot of the current detections, so in terms of redshift and total mass, this is the 2BNS that was in our garden, and this is the black holes that are in our local universe. And then you look where is the interesting part of the physics. So if you wanted to make, if you are looking for the peak of black hole merger rate and the global cluster, you have to go to this level of redshift. If you wanted to go to the peak of the star formation rate, you have to go in this level of redshift. And if you want to look for primordial black hole, so where to see if there is dark matter, you have to go here, to the, go to this level of redshift. So 10 and more redshift. And this blue curve is what the advanced detector can do. Okay? So if someone tells you is enough a second detector, second generation detector, show this plot and ask how it is possible. In fact, there is the evolution of LIGO expected through the Voyager design, so with cryogenics, in order to enter in this region that is interesting. And then if you build a third generation detector, you are able to span almost all the universe with a T in terms of black holes, because you have massive black holes. And this pink curve is with a new American idea of third generation that is called the Cosmic Explorer, that has been recently, in July, founded by National Science Foundation. So with this improved sensitivity, for example, you can understand, with the third generation, you can understand if what we see are really black holes, or are not grava star, are boson stars, so other objects. And to do that, if you believe to general relativity, you have to look, for example, to the quasi-normal mode, so the oscillation of the black hole after the emerging phase. And so if you see just a T-like detector can access to the normal mode, to the all normal modes, in order to make this measurement. But if you are still interested to nuclear physics, and so to neutron star, you need the high frequency sensitivity, because this is the signal, the blue line here, is the signal given by the neutron star. And you see, you understood that the most important part is the merging phase. This is the collection part, where LIGO and Virgo can make a measurement. This is the tidal part, so tidal effect, this part here, the merging phase, the initial merging phase, and so you have that the advanced detector are sensible, but not so much. Keep in mind that we need a signal-to-noise ratio of 8 to make our measurement, so this is the signal-to-noise ratio level, essentially. Then if you want to access to the merging phase and to the ring-down phase where there is a nuclear physics, you need to have a sensitivity that is not accessible to the advanced detector, and you have to go in the advanced, in the third generation phase. Okay? Then, special question, ET, as I said, is focused in the low frequency. Why low frequency is important? Everybody knows that at the center of each galaxy there is a supermassive black hole. But to see gravitational wave signal from supermassive black hole, you need the LISA. You cannot do with the Earth-based detector, because you cannot access so low frequencies. But a question mark for the supermassive black hole is how they formed. Who generated the supermassive black hole? So what are the seeds of the supermassive black hole? And so what we know that this is the distribution of supermassive black holes in terms of mass. This is what has been measured by LIGO and Virgo, for example, this region yellow here. And here there is a gap that we need to measurement here. So this level of mass that corresponds to this part of the sensitivity curve of the detection curve of the third generation gravitational wave detectors. In fact, If you want to fill up this gap, you need enough sensitivity in the low frequency, this is the T curve with respect to the cosmic explorer curve. So you need to access this part of the sensitivity that is not accessible to the second generation and the 2.5 generation detectors, because you need to see all the seeds that are then through merging, sequential merging, creating the supermassive black holes. Finally, low frequency sensitivity is crucial for multi-messenger astronomy. Why? You know that the major difference, one of the major differences between the signal of BNS and the signal of black holes is the duration. The BNS has been in the spectrum of LIGO Virgo for tens of seconds. These are instead of a fraction of a second. But that was the timeline of the first multi-messenger detection. So this is the merger. Then 1.7 seconds later, we see the short gamma ray burst. And then 5 hours later, we localize, we have been able through computation localize the source. And then all the telescope started to look to the BNS. To the kilonova emission. So of course these five was the signal measured by detectors. So of course these 5 hours is our fact that we are not expert. We are learning how to make a multi-messenger, and then in O3 will be 20 minutes, probably in O4 will be 5 minutes. So it's a technical issue, but try to imagine what means to have a detector with high sensitivity and low frequency. The 10, 20, 100 seconds of signal in the spectrum of your detector are transformed in that. So a BNS is visible in the T spectrum. Look, this is the signal-to-noise ratio that you need to make a detection. So, if you have a T, you have that you have information about the presence of a BNS 1 day before the collisions. In 1 day, you can communicate to all the telescopes, say, "Hey guys, in 1 day from now, you will have a star that will be formed there. For the first time, you will see the formation of a star before it occurs. You will see the process that generate the formation of a star or maybe a black hole. You are able to anticipate the information 1 day in advance, and then all the telescope will be pointing to that direction before that the event will occur. And then this is not possible with the current detector. So with the current detector, you have the order of 100, 200 seconds, 300 seconds when they will arrive at the nominal sensitivity. Maybe you will have a little bit better with the 2.5 generation. This is Cosmic Explorer, and this is ET. So let's suppose that you are not able to build your detector and you lose the very low frequency part. So you are not able to start from 2 Hz or 3 Hz like ET is trying to do, and you start at 5 Hz or later. So you have still that the time before the collisions is long enough. We are talking about 10 to the 4 seconds, maybe 10 to the 3, but and so on. So the capability to access low frequency is an incredible plus for multi-messenger astronomy. Okay, where we are for the realization. This is the plan that we have. So now we are trying to form the T collaboration. And we have one slide for that. In 2019, 2020, we want to apply to the RS3 roadmap. We will be scheduled to present next year to the GSO our idea. And we are working to define the parameters for set selection before to submit the proposal. So we will submit the proposal without the selection of a site, but with the parameters that we will use to select the site. And you see this statement here. The requirement to be compliant with the alternative design option, L, triangular versus L, okay? And this could be a critical point, and I want to to explore this statement. In 2022, site selection, and this of course is a technical but mainly a political activity, and of course we need to compare the requirements with the site characteristics that need to be measured from now to the 2022. In 2023, we will freeze the technical design, so we will have a technical report, and here all the design options, the major design options, let me say, are frozen. And then we will have the cost evolution when we have the final cost evolution, let me say, because here we have a first cost evolution. And our idea is to start in 2025 the realization of the detector, of the infrastructure, sorry, and to have in 2030 the machine, 31, 32, depends, the machine operating. The S3 roadmap is not the only roadmap that is going on in this moment in Europe. There is also the European strategy on particle physics roadmap. And we have been asked to apply, not to apply is not correct, to suggest the Einstein telescope infrastructure also to the CERN roadmap. You can say what means that. It's not particle physics. CERN has already an activity that is not made at CERN. Think to the neutrino platform. And so there has been some contact to discuss this point. The idea is the fact that we have a huge amount of physics to offer to CERN, and they have a huge amount of technology to offer to us. A joke that I made is this one. This is CERN, and this is Virgo. They are going by motorbike, we are going through bike. We need all their technology to transform our bike in a motorbike. So the technology at CERN is strongly developed, and we need a huge amount of injection of their technology in all these points. In fact, we are talking about enabling technology, and enabling technology should act to work to improve the current sensitivity second generation toward third generation in different frequency regime. Working at the low frequency requires to have underground laboratories. You see, this is the seismic noise of Virgo, red one, with respect to the seismic noise measured at different sites in Europe during the design study period in ET, and this is Hungary is somewhere here, and so it's a very promising site in Hungary. Seismic noise is a crucial element for the selection of the site because it acts on the performance of the detector through the vibration of the soil. Okay, you can filter it. We built a very good vibration isolator, but you cannot filter Newton. So the soil is vibrating. There is attraction from this grain of sand there, the mirror, and this Newton attraction, and you cannot filter. There is no filtering. And so this is called the Newtonian noise in our field, and it will be the dominant noise low frequency part, and you've seen that going underground, you improve a lot the level of vibration, and then you reduce a lot this noise. But I'm sorry, I have not the plot. I will show this afternoon in my talk to the university. There is another noise, Newtonian noise, that is not computed in our detectors that will be relevant in the future, is the atmospheric Newtonian noise. Air molecula have a mass, and the level of sensitivity for the future detector will be so high that we will see the turbulent flux under vacuum. What means? You have a turbulent air motion, and you see the Newtonian attraction of the molecular fire on the mirrors. For example, Cosmic Explorer curve that you see before is realized introducing an offline subtraction of Newtonian noise by a factor 10. So they have to find a way out to offline subtract. ET that is realized underground is made without offline subtraction. It's the real noise of the detector. to be so competitive at the low frequency and the high frequency is difficult, and so in IT there is the idea to use a xylophone design, so to have one interferometer devoted to low frequency and one interferometer devoted to the high frequency. In this way you decouple high power laser from cryogenics, and so it could be easier to have the detector working, will be more complex to realize it because it will be more the costly. So this is the idea of the xylophone principle. If a detector interferometer specialized in low frequency, interferometer specialized in high frequency. So the technology that we have to develop for the low frequency are underground cryogenics, silicon test mass, large test mass, new coatings, new laser wavelength, seismic suspension, frequency dependent squeezing. For the high frequency, high power lasers, large test mass, new coatings, thermal compensation for the absorption of the in the mirror, frequency dependent squeezing. So, okay, the question mark that we have for cryogenics, how to go to 10, 20 Kelvin, that is not so difficult, but without generating noise. This is crucial, vibrational noise for us is crucial, without polluting the mirrors. So this is standard technology, let me say, but we need to realize it. We need to select a good cryogenic material. The current mirrors are made by fused silica, and we cannot use a fused silica in cryogenics. And so how to realize, where to find the material? A good candidate is silicon. Silicon seems a good candidate because it works perfectly in the low temperature, but the commercial available silicon, the Tsiolkovsky method realized, too high absorption. So there is a new way, I mean a different way to realize the silicon that is called magnetic Tsiolkovsky seems quite promising, and people is working on that. How to realize the suspension, the fibers? We need to realize the fibers in silicon, and we have to learn how to do, and currently are realized in silica. And then we need to realize coatings, the reflective Bragg coatings, Bragg mirrors, and this is quite important to understand how to realize. And then squeezing is a quantum optics implemented in gravitational wave detectors. So, a few words about the geometry. Why triangular? One detector is like that. Okay, this is 60 degrees, not 90 degrees, but the angle here. But okay, it's a one standard detector. Then you have the xylophone design here. This is a detector. Why I call it a detector, not an observatory? Because a single detector is not able to disentangle the polarizations. So if you have two polarizations, and in gravitational wave, you have at least two polarizations, a single detector is not able to disentangle cross from plus. You cannot. And so you need a network of detectors. Then if in the same site put a second detector, like this one, you are immediately able to disentangle the two polarizations. So if you wanted to realize a detector, that an observatory that works alone, this is the original idea of IT, you need at least two interferometers in one single site. Okay? This is the reason to have this design. What happens if you put a third one? If you put a third one, you are able to build through what is called the virtual interferometry a null stream. What is the null stream? It's an output of your device that is not containing gravitational waves. So if you have a signal in the null stream, you are sure that it's not a gravitational wave, it's disturbances, then you build a veto. So in this way, you are able to realize a single observatory that is able to work alone. That was one of the requirements of IT when we started to design it, because nobody was thinking to the third generation. We were considered crazy guys. Now we are no more crazy guys, because NSF founded the Cosmic Explorer idea. So, organization. To build the IT collaboration, we launched a letter of intent, and this was launched in May. And then this is the more or less the people that signed this letter of intent. Currently we are more than 650. And this is the European distribution and not European distribution of people that signed the letter of intent. The letter of intent is, that was on the 31st of October. Now we are also coming. The letter of intent is brown, the brown one. This is Hungary. Okay, 54 people, 8% of the signature is here. Okay, so sorry, I realize that it's not, no, it's visible. It's Hungary here, then you have all the countries more or less around. This is not the T collaboration. It's people that express their interest on the T science. Then we are forming now the T collaboration starting from that. We are building what is called an executive board inside the collaboration that is taking care of the organization and the day-by-day activity of the collaboration. And the most crucial part at the moment is the team that will realize the S3 roadmap part. There is a strong interaction with the APEC, the consortium of astroparticle, of the funding agencies that are funding astroparticle research in Europe. Okay, in this moment what we are doing, we are working on the technical design of ET. This is the conceptual design. Now we are working with we are really doing the technical design. So you see that it's changing the distribution of the pipes. We are really working with the help of companies to improve pass from a concept to a real technical design, and so you see evolution. And we are forming now the technical design team that you see here. So I think you are interested at this point, site selection. The site selection is based, one of the element is seismic noise, is environmental noise, let's say, in general. Is of course not the only one, and maybe not the major one. Financial part will be the major one. But the seismic noise is at least the entry point. At the moment we have three candidates in Europe. So in Italy, in Hungary, and in the border between Netherlands, Belgium, and Germany. What we need to do now is to complete the site qualification. The Dutch, Belgian, and German possible site is in the border between the three countries. That is clearly a wonderful asset for them. But the site needs to be qualified with a long and complete seismic measurement that should start in 2019. They already received the funding for this activity of the order of 4-6 million. It's not really clear how much it is, but it's this order of magnitude from Netherlands and Belgium. In Italy, the site that we are proposing is in Sardinia. We have a long measurement campaign published in Classium Quantum Gravity, and there is a substantial support from the government and also from the local government for realizing this activity, and also to develop the enabling technologies. In Hungary, we have the Matra mountain site that has been characterized with a long period of measurement, and there is an archive document that has been recently published with the seismic measurement realized in this site, that you see is matching with the ET requirements. This is the evaluation on natural anthropic seismicity. What you have, that is the region is quite quiet, very low earthquake rate. There is human activities that I see that are explosions for mine, I suppose, activities. And of course, this needs to be evaluated as a source of noise. But Europe is not all the world. There is an international scenario. And as I told, NSF discovered that the third generation is a quite important item, and they founded a conceptual design, what has been founded for ET 10 years ago. They founded a 3G idea in the Cosmic Explorer, and so this is NFS founded as design study for Cosmic Explorer, and they stated that we are, let's say, 10 years in advance, so they are trying to fill the gap. And we organized in 2018, August 2018, a meeting, no, we, NSF organized a meeting in Europe where to discuss the global strategy on gravitational wave astronomy. And at this meeting participated the delegate of national funding agencies and also certain people. And has been a quite sparkling discussion, very intense, but I think with quite interesting result. So what we understand is that we need a global coordination. For this reason, we have a committee that is called the GWIC-3G, Gravitational Wave International Committee, Third Generation, and that is taking care of the development of the strategy for third generation, global third generation strategy. So it's chaired by me and the director of LIGO, and they are divided in five activities where the most appealing are the science case and the technology. For the science case, there is a huge team, more than 200 scientists, and some of them meet in the Max Planck Institute in Potsdam last October, and has been a quite exciting meeting. Thanks to the meeting, now we have almost ready our proposal for the third roadmap. And in US, in January, they will propose that to the Decadal Survey. So US is going fast on this direction. They wanted to fill the 10 years gap. We discussed about the S3 proposal. So my last slide, ET is a frontier project in gravitational waves, is the only project that can guarantee a scientific relevance of Europe in the 2030 decade, about the terrestrial detector, of course, I'm not talking about LISA, is paving the path toward third generation. So, and the design is based on the hypothesis that the only 3G detector existing, in case the Cosmic Explorer in US will be transformed from a concept to a real project, of course ET can be modified to make it more simple to make it maybe also cheaper, especially if the third leg will come out. So there is in this moment Australia that is expressing interest for hosting a third site in the world. What we know that the pan-European effort in the design, technical design, technology development and realization is needed. We can say that the competition on the different sites that we have in Europe in this moment is healthy because it's pushing people to work high speed on this subject. Okay, thanks.
Now this is time for questions. Yes, please.
First of all, thank you very much for this wonderful talk, which you make the physics case very clear. But if I understand properly, if a country wants to participate in that great effort, we need to clarify some things which, of course, in such a short time, giving such a very much of a physics case, it cannot be done. So can we go back to that slide which showed the roadmap? So, no.
It arrives.
Back to okay. So what shall we decide right now? First of all, the community of scientists and how we communicate with the government, which certainly needs to have a strong case. We need to have a strong case to get funded. So right now, if I understand correctly, this Einstein Telescope collaboration is not formed yet.
It's forming now. We have the kickoff of the collaboration in February.
Next year.
It was a kickoff meeting to form the collaboration. We are preparing the statute of the collaboration and the votation. Votation, what means? We have a statute that needs to be accepted. Mm-hmm. So when the statute is accepted, the collaboration starts. And this will be February 2019. This one. February.
Yeah. When this collaboration is formed, then you have to prepare to submit a proposal to the SV roadmap.
Yes.
And then if it's accepted, so to say, then there will be the site selection. So
yes.
Right now we are not talking about at all proposals for the site selection.
Not completely true. The proposal in the SV roadmap will contain the list of sites.
The list of sites.
That are candidates, and will contain the procedure that we will adopt for the selection of the site.
Okay.
So this is the, and if you are asking what you have to communicate to the, your country, essentially, if you want to be one of the possible sites that host ET, you need to enter in the game now. The game is essentially to participate first to the qualification of the site. So what you need in Hungary is a full qualification of the site, because in 2022, among the list of sites, we will say, oh, this is not compliant, this is compliant. Compliant means not selected, because after the compliant phase, there is the funded phase. So you, as Giorgio said, the hosting country needs to put a chip on the table that is larger.
Okay, since you don't have the proposal for the S3 to put it on the S3 roadmap, but still you have to make the cost definition in 2023.
No, so we have already a cost definition.
Sorry?
Cost definition is iterative. The level of accuracy of the cost definition is iterative steps. So we produced a design study in 2011 where there is a cost evaluation.
What is the cost?
So the cost evaluation in that proposal is of the order of 1 billion. Of
1 billion.
And in this moment we are proposing IT as a 1 billion class detector. When I say 1 billion class, it means that you have a margin of error that is still large. This margin of error will be smaller when we will submit the proposal. Mm-hmm. In this moment, there are teams and companies that are doing the refinement of the cost. So, for example, in this moment, we have a company specialized in tunneling that are collaborating with us, telling us how much we are wrong in our initial conceptual mm-hmm. evaluation. So in 2020, when the proposal needs to be submitted, we will have a better evaluation of the cost, but will not be the final. Why cannot be the final? Because the excavation cost depends on the site. So it depends strongly on the site, because the kind of rock, if it is...
I understand.
So what happens that the site selection will tell us which will be the final cost of the object. Okay?
It's clear, but right now we have an estimate, or a very rough estimate.
Yes.
We are starting from 1 billion euro detector, and when the site is selected and the proposal is submitted, and we will have a much better or much precise cost definition.
Yes.
What is your estimate that a country which wants to host this device, actually, this cost definition contains is this 1 billion is when all the three detector system is.
Yeah. There? So the cost of this facility is incredibly unbalanced. The largest cost is the infrastructure. So is the excavation. The second cost is in terms of importance is the vacuum system. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then the detector itself is quite cheap with respect to the rest.
Compared to this.
Yeah, cheap means order of magnitude.
Oh, yeah. Of course, it's not $10, but
so the major part is really the excavation. And the idea that we have in mind, if you want to understand what is the subdivision, the more or less the idea is that the hosting country should take care of a relevant fraction of the infrastructure cost, of the excavation cost. Why this? Because also the impact in terms of socio-economical impact is...
It's absolutely clear, I guess, for me, I hope for many other people. So roughly what percentage of the cost?
So we believe, with the rough estimation made in the conceptual design, that the 60% of the cost is the excavation, and the 20% of the cost is the vacuum system.
Vacuum system, and another 20 is
the rest of the
assumption. And what... And then you would expect that the host country pays for the excavation cost, basically.
A fraction, not to
what in what fraction?
I mean, the
roughly again, of course, you cannot say.
This is a part of the writing of the proposal, and so for this reason, I strongly suggest to participate to the writing of the proposal. And what we are discussing now that should be at the level of 50% of the cost. Mm-hmm. But then you can imagine that if you have like the Dutch proposal, three countries, maybe they can do more. If we have, like Italy is one country, maybe cannot do more than 50%. If you have a country like Hungary, it depends if you are alone or not. So so there are many parameters, and participating to the writing of the proposal helps to tune the parameter according to the needs of each country.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Maybe just a comment. So, for example, considering the countries, I think last week we got a letter. I don't know if it is arrived, Erika, to you, from the Krakow Institute. So the Polish colleagues discussed this question, and in Krakow the big physics institutes, in some sense similar as the Wigner, so they decided that in some sense as a guest or institute on the name of the other Polish institute, so they submitted a letter to the Zoltán Rácz and also to Lovas that the Polish community would like to support this idea as a if the, for example, if this detector will be built in Hungary. So in that also we had a discussion with the Slovakian and the Czech communities. So in some sense what Mihály is saying, so this is now it is under progress, of course, as you say, and this is trivial, so this is lots of money, but these steps that how to involve generally the Visegrad countries, surrounding countries, so this is also in progress, and maybe this could ease. So, for example, what we were speaking and also discussing with Ferenc Mezei, that something like if we have this, so this 50% original, how would I say, commitment, so if that can come together, something like that, Hungary would be a 30-35%, and surrounding countries another 15%. So that would be, for example, a good start, and in that case we could make it more regional, I would say, because, okay, this is... So really, Hungary is a small country, but if we consider the region, it could make some sense. Yeah, okay, next question. Okay. Oh, Giorgio, yes?
Is small technical question or consideration, you know, looking at the ensemble of the infrastructure. So this project is to make an underground laboratory. Now, there is a lot of knowledge in underground laboratories and an attempt to make also global coordination, because they estimate that they could have an overall advantage in sharing good practices for the safety issues, the running cost of the, that are special running cost of the underground laboratories. And I wonder if you have already planned a stronger interaction with underground labs for these aspects.
The first underground lab that I have in mind is CAGRA. Sorry, I'm sectorial. And CAGRA is already underground in cryogenic, and we had already in 2012-2017 European project to exchange knowledge with them. It was an IRCES, so exchange of researcher. And in February, we will have the CAGRA International Workshop in Perugia, and we will sign an MOU between IT, IT Italia, IT Italy in this case, and CAGRA. So this is the first one. Then we are preparing the study that we are doing now, the social impact study with the Gran Sasso Laboratory. In this moment, within IFN is easy. And what is curious, the IT idea, born in 2004, within the European project called ILIAS, that was an integration activity of underground labs. So we are born from underground labs, so we are continuously in contact with them.
If I could have also just a comment, so there is a, I would say, an active discussion with the CERN, because generally, yes, as already you mentioned, so there is the underground facility, there is CREO, there is monitoring and you know, running a very large scale facility. So I think there is a basic knowledge which is at CERN. And also what is interesting, that if CERN is planning the next, you know, they are plans, every physicists are planning. So if there is the future circular collider, so in some sense there is a gap between the recent construction, so now the LHC is finished, and the FCC is somehow a little bit far away. So it is also, so there is thinking that how to make this gap also useful, how to keep the competence. So those people who, for example, now built and monitored and run the underground facility, it will be okay, but so to wait 10 years when the next will come, it is maybe too long. So how to have a collaboration between the CERN and use this knowledge for the ET? And I think you already mentioned that.
Yeah,
this
we
is
are what, working on that.
And I know from the CERN Council that there is a continuous discussion on this, and now, especially now, the next, as you mentioned, the next strategy plan is made, and every time in such a strategy plan used to contain, how would I say, not only advice, much more, that which type of collaboration could be made or should be made in the next 5-7 years, and in generally this is also among the suggestions.
So meanwhile we are going there, let me joke, FCC, the future Chinese collider, not collider, so Chinese collider.
So you put a very nice scientific case, and I am not an expert in gravitational waves, but even I am convinced that these are very important questions, and the scientific case is very strong. So that's clear to me. Even the technical things were thought over, and you know what you want. So that was clear. Now, I have a question which is very simple. Since you seem to be an expert in this field and know all the research is going, what going on in the globe, you might give us an estimate of how many person in the world works in this field, how many person in Asia, how many person in the United States, and how many in Europe, and how many in Hungary. That five number which I would be interested in, or if you don't know this, it is very good if you give in percentage. Thank you.
So I suspect that the numbers were too small, but let's start from these numbers. You have that the number of collaborators inside LIGO are 1,263. The number of collaborators in Virgo are the order of 350. In Kagra, I think, I don't know if I wrote here, yes, 216. Okay? So these are the persons that are directly working on gravitational wave research on ground. Then there is on space, that is another similar collaboration. So if you make a sum here, in reality the number of authors in total between LIGO and Virgo are 1,200. If you look at our publication about the coalitions of BNS, it was published with 3,600 people. So what I'm telling with that is not important in reality. It is important, of course, the number of direct scientists that directly are working on this subject. But this is an observatory. Our observatory that are providing information to a huge community, that are the community of astronomers. So in the paradigm of open data, open science, really we are becoming from a detector and observatory. And so if you have to count the community of interested people, not participating people. So the community of interested people are all the astronomers, plus people that do gravitational waves research. But the effort that we are trying to do is to stimulate the interest of other community, nuclear physics. So the coordinator, I think it is Angela Bracco, I think the name of NUPEC, presented at the last INFN meeting the report about NUPEC activity. And one of the slides was what we learn with gravitational waves, with the BNS. So nuclear physicists are starting to see that our physics start to be interesting for them. So I hope that also people that work in fundamental physics, dark matter search, axions. So we are providing of physics, providers of physics. This is the different approach that we have.
Two weeks ago, Rainer Weiss, who got the Nobel Prize for LIGO, was here, and I discussed a little bit gravitational telescopes and asked him for pro and con. And of course, for the pro, he just said that, well, up to now we saw the universe in electromagnetic waves, and now we shall see it in gravitational waves, and it will be beautiful, and it will be very interesting. And I think we can all agree with this. And then, in connection with the Einstein telescope, he voiced some criticism. And I'm not a specialist, I'm just telling what he was indicating at that discussion. And I'm just interested what is your response to that. One of the points he was raising is that this is the sensitivity will be indeed one decade or one and a half decade better, and the low frequency part is important. The 5 to 50 hertz part is will be new. But he said that this is one telescope, and you here explain something about why do we believe in the single measurements of a single telescope. He was saying that for one telescope, if we imagine ourselves 2 years back, then we wouldn't have believed the measurements or LIGO if it wouldn't be in coincidence with the other. So he was saying that the problem is that when will be another telescope with the same sensitivity appearing? Okay? Yeah. Okay,
It's clear. No, the objection.
Okay, so maybe you respond to this and then I will ask the Next question.
Sorry, if you want to complete, but maybe it's better that I answer because then I forget.
Yeah, it's better.
So, the question is clear. Let me explain. As I said, I repeat it a few times during my presentation, the ET design is a design for an observatory, not a detector. So it's composed by more than one detector. When it's composed by more than one detector, you can make the study of the two polarization, and you can veto false alarm through the third one. But I'm not hiding myself under a finger. The fact that having just one detector makes the localization capability of a T very poor, and I've wrote poor localization. To make localization of the source, you need a network, because it's quite important that the detectors are far one from one each other. So, but a T is not alone. A T is built with a network of second generation detector that, as I shown in one slide, will be upgraded in the next years. So we will have a detector that will be not sensible like a T, but a factor 5-6 less sensitive. So in the neighboring universe here, the network of detector, a T plus the second generation detector upgraded, are able to localize sources. And this for multi-messenger detector, for multi-messenger astrophysics, I'm sorry to say, is enough. Why I say I'm sorry to say is enough? Because if you see the capability of optical telescope, of gamma ray detectors, and so on, they will not able to arrive to a redshift of 10, 15 that we are doing now. So the capability of present and future telescope will be covered by second 0.5 generation of detectors and ET. So ET plus the two LIGO, LIGO India, Virgo, and Kagra, will be a beautiful network that will make local a medium university physics. If you want to explore the full universe, like I show in one plot, you need the Cosmic Explorer, the counterpart, the American counterpart. So we are waiting this. And if they are entering the game, as I shown in one in my one of the last slides, I said that. Okay, voila. Sorry, you don't see because I need to. So, in case other 3G detector observatories will be realized in the world, the design can be simplified, keeping the same scientific potential but reducing the complexity. So, in case Cosmic Explorer in 2023 will be a project and not an idea, we are able to simplify our design and reduce the complexity and to be ready to work in a global way. But if they are not coming as a Cosmic Explorer, ET with this design is able to work together the other gravitational wave detectors already present for make a large fraction of this physics.
In connection with connectivity, he was saying that, as you put here, an important part of the triangular design is that the polarization can be measured. But he said that, if you really include the other observatories, then L design will do the same for the polarization. So in this sense, it would be cheaper to make an L design
As I said, if you make a TL design now, see, it is L design, and then Cosmic Explorer is not realized, you save 200 million, to do what? Nothing. Okay. You don't do physics, because with the one single L-shaped detector, you cannot disentangle the two polarizations. Okay? So we cannot make a proposal for a project that is not has not a scientific meaning, because it cannot make physics if it is alone. So our proposal is say we have a project that is able to work as a standalone detector for physics and for astronomy using the existing detectors. If LIGO arrives with the Cosmic Explorer and then produce an L-shaped detector, we can reconsider to have a triangular, instead of triangular L-shaped. And this will be done in 2023. Let me say, to be honest, the first measurement of polarization in LIGO Virgo has been made when Virgo has been switched on. The two LIGO were not capable alone to make polarization measurement. They needed the third detector. So in reality, to make polarization measurement, you need more than one detector, more than two detectors, sorry. So even if there is one Cosmic Explorer, still the triangular design is still a plus. Instead, if Australians, for example, will arrive with the third one, why I say Australians? Because it's the fastest country that I have in mind. So the distance is important. So if Australia arrives with the third one, it's perfect. You can make polarization and you can make just one L-shape.
Okay, I asked him also about the estimated cost of the whole program. He said that the LIGO cost $1 billion.
Yeah.
And he said that if you put it underground, it will be another billion.
Yeah.
Okay, so
but because LIGO, LIGO, not LIGO, Cosmic Explorer. Cosmic Explorer is 40 kilometer by 40 kilometer. So I said before, the cost of the vacuum is 20%. But now you have that the length of the object is 80 kilometer with respect to the 30 kilometer in our case. And so you have that the cost of the vacuum becomes the largest part of the object. Then another comment, 40 kilometer is underground because the Earth is almost spherical. Then if you make 80 kilometer, you have to dig at least 30 meters. Okay? Yes. And we are thinking to dig 100, 200 meters. Not so different.
Okay, about the cost, and one more question. That at this moment, something should be done as an initial exploration about the site and so on. So, as I saw from the slides, Poland gave something, 5 million euro, Italy gave 17 million euro to do.
Promised 17 given 5. So it's a bit different.
The question is what for? If we see here that the Hungarian archive paper answers the basic questions.
What for? Sorry, the question?
This archive paper on
which okay. So,
research is based. No. Yes?
So, as I said, the realization of a T is the final step of a path. And the path is to develop technologies for IT. The path passes through the Advanced Virgo Plus phase. So, for example, in these 5 million delivered by the Italian government, more than 3 are used to develop Advanced Virgo Plus. The remaining 2 million are used to certify the site. And then we will use the other two technology development. But let's say certify the site doesn't mean only put a sensor, measure a vibration, it's finished. This is the first step. Then we are realizing a network of sensors. We are measuring correlation between different points because Newtonian noise is measured through correlation. We are measuring environmental level of the noise. We are certifying the geology. For example, the amount of water you need to make a drilling and to understand how much water you have. This is a certification. If Hungary think to arrive to the selection saying, we measured seismic noise, that's all. No.
No, but this is what I was
asking. No, you need a geological study, you need a social impact study, infrastructure study. So you need a huge amount of work in order to be a candidate for the site.
Okay, but this is what I wanted to clarify, that what is, because we have to decide about this question, the next step.
So it's not simply make put a sensor. It's really to make a candidature.
Can I have just another short question? You showed how many people signed from different countries. Could you please put that back? In the, I suppose it is possible that you leave a PDF copy of your presentation. Okay. Okay, okay.
In any case, this plot is available online.
Okay. Yeah, it's just...
Sorry, sometimes the computer starts to decide two different things when you are trying to show something.
Okay. So, for me, it's a little bit of... I would say clearly disturbing that France and Hungary in that slide is on the same footing, on the same
yes.
Level, while Peter mentioned that Poland will help and what Slovakia, I don't even see on that that figure. So this can be a misleading because I don't know who is that 54 people who signed that. Probably can get also that the names and see that what is the relevance.
Names are available online.
Sorry?
Names are available online.
Okay.
No,
may I say just that in some sense our friends in friends, colleagues in Poland, and others, they are waiting, for example, for your next week decision. So because they also started the discussion, but they say since Hungary in some sense would like to play a melting role, so until we don't know, we don't say what we want to do, so they are also thinking.
Okay.
Yeah. So
this...
The other thing that these are, I think... So these are different universities, but for example, let me tell you that from the Technical University, at this point, nobody is on this list. So which means that because the Technical University, this is why Mihaela will go in the afternoon to give a talk there, simply that what are the I couldn't explain them. I am sorry, I am not a Creos person, and this is why just to say that now... Mihaela will summarize, so maybe this number could be much larger. And also, don't forget that, and this is what I wanted to say, that when we are speaking about the CERN, so in the CERN, there is 70, usually there is 70 Hungarian in the user list. And these 70 people who are registered at CERN. And after that, a good question that what is the radiation of it in Hungary, and this is also the answer to Gyula's question. So what about those companies who, for example, really making the industrial return, where Hungary now it's very good, and where are those people, and they are much more, so something like 100, 150. Of course, this is the economical impact, and you don't want to mix the science with the economical impact. So maybe I would say that these numbers are much more just indications that something going on, something happened, and something important. And maybe to Zoltán, the question, Zoltán, you were asking about the Hungarian involvement and what about this laboratory and others. So I can tell you that we were lucky because fortunately there is a mine in the Mátra mountain. So we had generally a free, friendly mine, and they didn't charge us to go inside. So our only cost was generally to make that room, what you have seen in Mihaela figures, and that room also buying, what is the name of the last load?
Guralp.
Guralp seismograph. So one Guralp is 6,000 euro. So we could buy two such a thing. And for example, this, the altogether expenses, I would say, about 40,000 euro, plus all of my colleagues who are working free, plus all of the mine people who are working free during last 5 years. So I don't know, finally, maybe try to estimate yourself. I don't want to say that this was a 200,000 or 300,000 euro, but generally this is not so small. The problem that we can do this is, I would say, in a Hungarian way. The problem that to go further, so for example, to make similar feasibility studies, and so you cannot get free, so you cannot get no cheap or no free expert opinion. They are already, so you know, you need the stamp on it, you need the responsibility, and now that costs money. So when we ask for the National Geographic Office to give, for example, this type of data and this type of information, they gave us a very nice bill, something like 50 million forint. And after that, if we have 50 million forint, we can go back. And using all of the drilling sample, which is somewhere in Biatorbágy in the wardrobes, so they will put together all of this data for us. And when you ask that how much money would need, so my estimate that a next step could be something like about 150 million forint to step further to make the, how would I say, to remain in the game. I think this is the right point. Yeah, this is our estimate. Now if you turn this into euro, so this is a 500,000 euro, so 500,000 euro is not, again, something like a factor of 5, let's say.
Keep in mind that in Netherlands they have to make the drill, the drilling, because they haven't, in fact you see the measurement in Netherlands has been made at minus 10 meters, and so that is not significant. You have to go to minus 200. In our case, we had a mine accessible. We made our measurement in mine. But now we are building a laboratory because INFN decided to build an underground laboratory for precision underground gravity physics, not only gravitational waves. So now in Sardinia we are building a laboratory, and there is an experiment now that's been founded by INFN, so the laboratory will be completed begin in the next year, let's say in summer next year, and this experiment for is an experiment that is measuring the energy of vacuum, let's say, that needs very quiet environment will be realized there. So the idea is to have a long-term strategy, creating a laboratory that is the initial seed for maybe a future ISAN telescope. So, I mean, it's a strategy.
And if I could have also just a comment just to make it more clear. So there is this one step, I would say about 150 million forint, at least to remain, to say that we are interested in it. Now, a good question that this, all of this, what you say, this is not really the physics, because we have the physics group in the university and also in the Wigner, so they are doing their research work even without any authorization. But a question will be the technology. And this technology, so now this is, for example, I would say that for the next, and this is also for President Pálinkás, that for the next 3-4 years, so what we should do, so for example, think about that, how to make a gravity technology program about, let's say, 1 billion, 1 milliard forint, and this 1 milliard would go not to the science, so not to these guys, not to Vasút Matyi or me, but for example, for the technical universities, or for the Eszterházy Károly University, or for the Miskolc University, where these guys could speed up how they could contribute. And after that, the decision is coming that could we host this in Hungary or not. So in some sense, the next week, I think somehow the decision can tell that could we move at all into this direction, or this is too big, too much, too for us, and we shouldn't do this.
Somebody will stand up there and say that, oh, I who has been working on LIGO, who has been working on LIGO, and he will say that we have some designs, and I can do the same with satellites sent up there. And okay, so I would like to hear your opinion on this.
You cannot do with satellites. I mean, with LISA, it's like to compare an infrared telescope with a gamma ray burst detector. Nonsense. No? No, I'm saying with LISA, if you are talking a gravitational wave detector satellite, the comparison is not working because it's like to compare an infrared telescope with gamma ray burst. We are talking about two different wavelengths, that means two different levels of energy. If you compare a T to LISA, means that you are saying that you are not realizing a gamma ray burst satellite because you have an infrared telescope in the Antarctica. It's meaningless. Okay? Then the question, if I heard, I don't know the comment, but somebody says that you make a network of satellite to make a gravitational wave using photons. No, because it's totally nonsense, because multi-messenger means that you have a different messenger. So if you are detecting gravitational waves, are detecting photons, you are not detecting gravitons, let me say. How you make the physics of gravity with the photons? The only way that you can use photons to make gravitational wave measurement is the PTA, the pulsar timing array, that they are looking how gravitational waves, the remnant gravitational waves of the Big Bang, are deforming the space-time, and then the timing arrival time of the photons from the pulsar are defaced by the gravitational wave, the ripple, the curvature of the space left by the original Big Bang. But we are talking about 10 to the minus 9 Hertz. Okay? Again, you are trying to compare a radio telescope with a gamma ray burst detector. Completely different sector.
Point when we stop the discussion, we cannot finish it. Thank you very much for, first of all, for our two speakers. So, thank you. And am I right? So, can I get the permission from you that both of your talk could be put into our in PDF? In our Indico site at the Wigner, and can be circulated among the interested people. Thank you very much, and thank you for the audience, and thank you especially for the questions, which made a little bit more exciting the talk. Thank you very much.
So you mean that my talk was boring? The question make the discussion more exciting. It means that my talk was boring.
No. Thank you very much.
Thank you.